Would you know if the recruiter who slid into your inbox was actually a scammer? Today, we'll discuss the wild west of recruiting, from elite talent whisperers to shady scam artists. Our industry has some goodies, baddies, and some that don't belong. Today, we'll dive into the signs to look for to know what kind of recruiter you're dealing with. Let's get into it.
Welcome to Talentless, the podcast that's all HR, all talent, and zero fluff, hosted by industry talent leaders Desiree Goldie and Ashley King, and made for recruiters who think of talent outside of the box. They're here to dig into the heart of what makes workplaces tick and sometimes blow up. They are not afraid to get into the messy, the meaningful, and the downright motivating. So buckle up, because they're here to make you the best in the business. Now, let's get to work.
Be honest, half of y'all are out here answering LinkedIn messages like it's a dating app. If they're offering you a six-figure job with zero contacts and a Gmail address, that is not a recruiter. That's a catfish. Let's get clear on how to spot the difference before you hand over your resume, or worse, your social security number. I'm excited for this one, Ashley.
I am too. I think it is so flipping relevant right now in this era of hiring in the job market.
Completely agree. Completely agree. It's nuts out here.
Yeah. And just to be clear to everyone, so what we are talking about today is recruiters, the good, the bad, and the scammer. So to be knowledgeable about this spectrum of quality recruiter and how to really tell who is who. So I think the first thing that we have to get into is what's the spectrum, right?
Yeah. So what is the spectrum? What's the range?
Yeah. So if we're looking at it, I would say the good. So that's going to be a recruiter who is strategic. They're consultative. They're very people first. I would say then you have like the bad. So this is going to be a recruiter that is extremely transactional. They're either needing to hit a quota or needing to get a fill. They will ghost you without feedback. They will push resumes that, you know, are just there for quantity, not quality. So I would say that those are going to be the bad. Last year, I would say is going to be the scammers. So these are people like, these are the worst of the worst. This is the underbelly of the world. These are fake job posters, people who are doing identity theft, phishing scams, things like that, that are preying on the vulnerable. So today we are going to go through how I, Ashley King, actually evaluate recruiters and how Desiree evaluates recruiters to really gauge, is this individual good, bad, or scammer? Because as talent individuals, good recruiters have one telltale sign for me, and that's that they can give me better problems. That's one of my, if we're just going to go through and look at what the number one thing is that I look at for a good recruiter, no one can eliminate problems all the way, but what we can do is get you better ones. So you may have no pipeline right now, and that may be your problem. But what we could do is throw you in a recruiter that's so good that gets you candidates that are so well qualified that now your problem is having to pick between three highly qualified, great candidates. That is a much better problem to have. That is a good recruiter. Good recruiters upgrade your problems. That is how I can tell. Desiree, what you got?
Yeah. I mean, because this isn't just good versus bad behavior. It's an ecosystem. There are recruiters out here operating like therapists, coaches, career fixers. Then there are the ones who act like used car salespeople, right? Yeah. Out here on LinkedIn with a LinkedIn license. And then there are full-on criminals. And it's a scary world for someone who's job seeking. Today is about learning how to read the room, the space, and the recruiter.
Yeah. And it can be really hard to read a room, or specifically a Zoom room or a phone screen these days post 2020, whenever you're trying to gauge, is this recruiter here to be my advocate or is this recruiter here to take my social security number?
And how hard the job market is right now, you just want a job. And so like sometimes you tend to forget the evaluation of who's even speaking to you. You're just like kind of moving forward because you're like, I've been on the job market for a year. I need to get off the job market. And so I think we tend to forget to do that assessment. We should always be assessing recruiters as much as they were assessing you. And so I think it's a really tough time right now. But, yeah. You know, let's get into what makes a recruiter great, because I do want to start on the positive.
Absolutely.
You know, let's make it the good. They're the recruiters who change lives. You know, what do they actually do differently? And I think there's some really good talking points here. And one of those is that deep research. they've done some great intake with the hiring manager. They understand the hiring manager. They understand the culture of the corporation. They mm-hmm. understand all the nuances of how to read a resume. I always tell people when I do candidate interviews that I can read a resume in 20 seconds. And it's not because I think that is a, you know, a great thing for me. It's that I can assess quickly if I think you're a fit for the role from your resume. And so those people that can actually do that work in an efficient way and get to the finish line, to me, makes a great one. Yeah. They also have that transparent communication, right? They're following up. They're telling you next steps. They know all the process. They're giving you updates. They're not ghosting you. They're showing up and being present for you anytime, anywhere. And that may mean answering a million LinkedIn messages or emails from that candidate following up. And that means yeah. even if you don't have an answer, say you don't have an answer.
Yeah.
Right? Right. That's what I was telling my kid, even though I don't have an answer, I'm going to answer you. So, but, and then the last part, which is my favorite part of this, is advocacy. Mm. Right? You're not just sitting somebody in the seat. You're not just trying to sit somebody in the seat. You're coaching, you're fighting for them internally. You're trying to get them in the seat, but in a way that benefits both the candidate and the organization, not just the organization. And that part of the coaching part is, I think, what we're missing a lot in recruiting. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of us, one of the biggest disservices that we can do to the recruitment field, to ourselves and to our candidates, is not wear that advocacy hat. That was one that, specifically because I had worked in staffing, I actually kind of was scared to put that hat on. Like, I didn't want to argue with the client, like the client knew best and things like that. Now that I have been in seat for as long as I have been, there's never a time I'm not advocating. I'm not coaching. I'm not ensuring that whenever this person gets in seat, that they have the strategic scaffolding around them to have success. Because if you are a good recruiter, like, and we can just do a real story here real quick, but like, real recruiters are delicate truth tellers. Like, their number one strategy is going to be retention above all else. It's not going to be quick fills. It's not going to be about quota metrics. That is not what drives this recruiter. Like, people do. And I will never forget whenever I graduated from graduate school, literally, like, no one would hire me. I had asked like every company that rejected me what I could improve. Nobody responded, except from one. And this person kind of gave me two responses. They, one, gave me the corporate response of like, we just had better candidates and that's where the candidate pool is now. So you just weren't qualified. And I appreciated that because that was like the internal mechanism and reason as to why I didn't meet their metrics. But the second response that they provided was kind of this sincere response and this extra mile that they didn't have to go. So they included ways for me to get relevant experience onto my resume that would have gotten me considered. So it was actually for a recruiting role. And at the time, I had only had like administrative experience. I worked at a library as a clerk. I was a research assistant, a college professor, like nothing really was nailing on the head for recruitment. So they suggested specific recruitment boot camps, ways that I could volunteer to get hiring experience added to my resume, to get those phone call screens, something that I've done in the past. So that way it's in my arsenal of experience. So they made those suggestions. And that, to me, that example of what that person was that took the time to do that, that is a people-driven person. That's not someone who's driven by quota. Like, they're driven by ensuring that that individual is going to receive embetterment. So that is something that whenever we're looking at good recruiters, like, to me, that is the number one thing, the extra mile that they did not have to go.
I agree with you. The extra mile for me is the huge one. And also just empathy for another person who is on the job market and you're sitting in the seat and you have a job. Right? Like, have empathy to try to guide that person, what was missing or, you know, they were struggling with or what if could have been better is a huge, huge, huge thing in recruiting. And you can't always give feedback. There are some companies that say don't give feedback at all because they're worried about the legal, you know, that. But you can guide them in some ways to say, like, you know, here's a thought process of where you could go to the next step to, you know, move your career forward and those type of things without having any legality of it. So I just want to be clear that there are some organizations that say, don't give feedback at all.
They do. And so usually my suggestion around that is you don't need to give feedback, but at least give logic.
Right.
So meaning, you know, same thing of like, you didn't qualify because we had such a high standard from the candidate pool that it's like, because that explains the job market saturation. That explains everything else without saying like, you just don't fit. Like, but it is saying that, but it's saying you don't fit because of the amount of quality. So there are ways to give people logic as to why they did not make it to this round or they weren't included in this candidate batch, sent to the manager, whatever it may be. So I do agree. I know a lot of companies do not give feedback for specific things and for many numerous legal reasons that make perfect sense. But I do think there is a way, and some companies even list out like 4 or 5 bullet points. Like it could be one of these.
Right.
So there is a way to do it without, but at the same time, I will say because so many individuals kind of make it a frou-frou thing that whenever you have those bullet points, it's almost like, are we actually providing them with intel? So that's a double-edged sword, I would say. But I do think good recruiters know how to do delicate truth-telling that allows for metric logic for them to be able to improve.
I agree with you. I mean, great recruiters to me show up in your inbox with jobs you'd actually think about. You know, I get approached for jobs all the time. And I'm like, why would I even consider this? It was funny. I saw a LinkedIn post the other day and the post was about being approached to be a funeral director. And this guy was like in B2B sales or something like that. Like, what are you doing? Right. Yeah. And we're starting to get to this place too, where these automated spam LinkedIn messages are getting a little nuts, but we'll get into that a little later. But, you know, they show up in the inbox with jobs you actually would consider that are relevant to the experience that you have and looks like a natural next step or even a lateral step. And I go back to your statement about the truth telling, and they tell you the truth even when it's not cute. I think it's a really hard thing to give people bad news. And most recruiters who are not good or great recruiters shy away from giving the hard truth. If you're able to give that truth, I suggest that you do that. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you don't need to say sorry at all. The only thing that I was going to say, just because you kind of nailed it, I think the difference between good recruiters and great recruiters might actually be how we decline people, because we might give one offer to every 100 declines. So we're doing that way more often. So if we can't master the art, if we can't find a way to tell delicate truths, to be a reliable narrator, to be able to progress this work in a way that's transparent, but strategic and functional, that's what separates, I think, the good from the great. Sorry, please keep going.
I totally agree. And thank you for stopping me, because that's basically what was my premise. It's like that separates from, you know, a good recruiter from a great one. People always say to me, well, thank you so much for being transparent. To me, I'm just doing my job.
Word.
Right? I need you to say thank you. I need you to know this is what I mean and this is what's going to happen next. And here's the ins and outs and here's the bad things and the good things. And that transparency feels horrible. It feels great to people because there's so many out there not doing that, you know, and there's so many people not declining well. And there's so many people really not investing the time in their candidates. And I can't say enough, but again, we'll get back into that again. But you know, I also think there's this, it's funny thing. I've recruited for, I think about every role in the universe, right? And so, but I do think there is something to having expertise in roles and showing receipts that you've been able to fill a role. Like one of my preferences is to fill sales roles because I'm really good at filling sales roles because I've done it for so long and I'm able to talk the metrics. I'm able to talk about how they need to hit goals and KPIs and, you know, what their bonus looks like and their commission structures look like. If you talk to a recruiter who has never done that before, they're not going to be able to answer all those questions really fluidly. So I do think there's some value in having an expertise, but I have recruited for just about anything. So I don't want to say that I put people in a box because I don't think that's fair as well. All right. Y'all know that we've shown some love to the good ones now, the real MVPs of recruiting. Now it's your turn. If a recruiter ever changed the game for you, we want to hear about it. Maybe they coached you through a tough interview. Maybe they told you the truth when it wasn't pretty. Maybe they went to bat for you inside a company that didn't know your worth yet. Tag them, text them, let them know they made a difference. Mm. Not all heroes wear blazers. Some absolutely do. And they deserve their flowers. Say hashtag talentless heroes. And we'll feature a few in this week's newsletter. We're also dropping 5 signs your recruiter is legit. So if you're not subscribed yet, now's your chance to get some receipts before your next job convo. Because yes, recruiting is messy, but the good ones, they're the reason people still have faith in this work.
Yeah.
Ashley, we're going on to number 2, the bad.
I know. So we just talked about the good, like hoorah, love those recruiters. Make sure you tell them they are good. This is a thankless job. Yes. Everyone's like, you don't already have someone to hire, like negative day one. So just thank your recruiter today. Give them an attaboy and maybe a taco and send them on their way, because that will keep us going.
Only in Texas, tacos.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Don't do tacos in like Salt Lake City. They're gross. Have had. Okay. So speaking of bad, let's talk about bad recruiters. So these are individuals in my mind, whenever I'm thinking of this, like these are recruiters who do not understand the power of the gate that they keep, and it shows. So these are people who are like ghosters. They might be spamming your inbox. They might be, you know, posing as like this great talent recruiter liaison person, whenever in reality, they know very little of much of this. So signs of this and some symptoms of like some real bad recruiters is going to be, you know, ghosting after the interviews or non-responsive. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times where people in talent are on vacation, you know, living their life because they are human. There are times that they're our managers who do not get back to us whenever we say. All of these are still no excuse to not have communication, even if the communication is, we still don't know, because that communication is okay. What you've promised is words. So you must deliver words, even if those words say, we don't know yet, that's okay. So I would say that bad recruiters are ones that once it gets awkward, once we got to tell somebody something bad or we're not moving or whatever it is, now all of a sudden this candidate is no longer worth our time or our efforts and energy to be able to tell them these delicate truths of rejection. So we just ghost them. The other one that I would say is spray and pray LinkedIn messages. Now, there was once a time in my life that I was hiring for like 97 roles. I am not proud of this moment. I would spray and pray, because at that point it was quantity, not quality. And so I will say that I myself have fallen prey in my past to have messaged someone who was on a list because they had XYZ on their LinkedIn. And it turns out, no, that 10-year vice president would not be a fit for this entry-level role. But I learned very, very quick, one, how illegitimate it makes you look whenever you send those messages. Two, it also, you don't do your research. So one of the first things you mentioned is like good recruiters do their research. I clearly didn't. I was listening to someone who had provided me a source list. I sent all of these blast messages and I kind of messed up. I didn't do my homework. So learn from Ashley, learn from her mistakes, and don't be a sprayer and prayer. Please worry about quality over quantity all the time, always. Other things could be misrepresenting job details or culture. So a lot of us are trying to sell the role. Most of you need to just be matching the role, which means maybe rather than explaining culture, ask your candidates, like, what's an idea of a good culture for you? See what they describe. Do they like micromanaged environments, or do they prefer really autonomous learning structures? Whatever they're explaining to you, if they're not describing the culture that you have, then now it's your duty to kind of express, okay, well, this is what ours look like. Now, what's your thought? I feel like a lot of recruiters are like, this is our culture, XYZ. And then candidates are just like, I love it. And it's like, well, we didn't really do any matchmaking here. I never really heard what you needed, what you want, what looks like support to you, or vice versa. We just talked about like, it's a vibe. So good recruiters really dive in to like what it is that a candidate needs to be successful outside of just tasks and duties. Another thing, bad recruiters that I'm seeing so much of are placing jobs as remote whenever they are not, just so they can get more applications.
That is like my, it's like my Achilles thing. I don't know what that's called, but it makes me very angry. Yeah. Don't do that.
Minds are gears. The other one that I hate that I've been seeing a lot of is putting like a massive salary range like little discretion to what the actual capabilities is of their budget. They'll be like, we can pay you anywhere from 45K to 250K. Like, that is the biggest joke I've ever heard in my life. No company would say that someone who could do the work for 40K would do the same job for two. Like, no, that range of quality is too far-fetched.
It's so ridiculous. When the compensation, like, yeah, just put compensation on your job post came out. And I forget who it was, and I don't want to name names, but it was like they would post the job from $30,000 to $8 million or something.
Yeah.
Right. It's just unfair to the world that we live in. It's unfair to people, and it's not having empathy for candidates. And I hate that so much.
Yeah. You know what I would have loved to have seen, though? They put that 30K to 8 million and people all of a sudden be like, oh, someone out here is making 8 million. Well, then I'm going to take XYZ and hike those prices up. Because that's the way, like, if everyone in HR decided today, hey, I'm tired of only making, I'm making this up, 100K, I think at minimum, every HR professional should get paid 250K. And we all like held the line and were like, no, this is what the work is worth. Just like software engineers do, just like all these other roles do that are high ticket prices. If we started seeing ourselves like this and holding it accountable with those quantifications, eventually the job salary range changes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's still in HR, I think what, in 2022, that was our best year. That was our best year of holding the line. And now we're so far away from that. I mean, I saw a 10-year recruiter job posting the other day for, I think it was like $70,000. Like, that is just, it's just not a great place right now in the recruiting space. But, you know, I had to go back to something that you said was this spray and pray kind of idea. I had a friend of mine who I've coached for years, and it's just a really good friend of mine, but she has a VP title, but she started her journey in customer service. And she said the other day she got, you know, this great message that said, it was a really well-written message, she said, which is funny, but it wanted her for like this entry-level $45,000 customer service role. And she wrote back, because she's a really nice person, and was like, hey, you know, I think you're looking, either you contacted the wrong person or you didn't look at my profile. That was like 10 years ago. I'm not looking for entry level roles. And literally never responded. The recruiter never responded, like, hey, I'm so sorry, maybe we'll look at you for another role, or no, thank you for responding, anything. It was like dead silence to her. And for her, she was like, do I need to change? She came to me all like crazy. Do I need to change my LinkedIn? Is something wrong? And I'm like, no. This is a recruiter not doing the work. This is a recruiter not doing the research. This is a recruiter not really reading your profile fully and just trying to get all of their jobs filled. That's what's happening. It's not you. It's not your LinkedIn profile, because I wrote your profile, so I'm not going to talk about that. But this is somebody not really doing the work in recruiting. And I will say that with all the layoffs and all the things that have happened, we have recruiters who are experiencing the highest workloads right now. So if they are doing that, it is not at a want to be, sometimes, not all the time, it's, you know, they're overloaded, right? You know, they're completely overloaded. So they're just like, I'm going to send out all these messages. But 77% of job seekers, I forget who quoted this the other day, or say they're being ghosted. That's not a glitch. That's not an overloaded system. That's the system. And it's failing people.
Yeah.
Literally failing people. You got to read their profiles. You got to represent your company correctly. You got to look and really do deep work on this stuff. Because when you're sending those spray and pray messages, like Ashley said, it's not a good look, and you end up looking like a bad person.
So for me, in my experience, the reason that this became such a quick lesson for me is because the individual that I had messaged, the VP, responded, but they did not respond like how your friend responded, in a kind way.
Of course
this not. Person responded the way probably any normal whatever VP would respond. And I remember in that moment thinking to myself, I'm actually glad that you responded this way, one, because I've learned a lesson of, you know, no matter how much quantity you need, you do need to be concerned about quality. So double check where your source candidates, like your source candidate list, if they're providing them to you to help you out, and double check before you send messages. However, the other thing that's interesting is because they responded the way that they did, I can tell you we had a VP job coming up and I made sure that we didn't call them. In such a way, so ugly that I was like, I'm glad we had this interaction, because if not, I know that we have a VP job coming up in the pipeline for approval. And guess who I also know I'm no longer contacting. And so although it was a mistake to have messaged this person, they were still tenured and seasoned in that area. And we were about to hire a VP. So I say this to say, if you are a candidate listening to this, and you do get these spray and pray messages, don't get me wrong, they're annoying. You respond however you want. I'm not going to coach you on anything, but I will say those recruiters may eventually be hiring for a job that you are looking for one day. And however you treat this, however you respond to this, could impact that.
Why so, be go nasty, ahead. Ashley? Why?
What'd you say?
Why be nasty in the job market? Do you know what I mean?
You know what, though? She even reached out to the CEO. She messaged him and was like, you have a dumb recruiter if they're reaching out to you.
Gosh.
And I even told the CEO, the two things that I just told you, don't get me wrong. Should she have been messaged for this specific role? The answer to that is no. And the CEO knew I was overwhelmed. I was the only recruiter that we had. And we were hiring, again, 45 recs. And then some of those recs had multi-headcount. And so it was something to where we're trying to hit a mass of people. And so once she sent that, I realized, one, don't ever do that again. Check everything that gets sent to you. But two, now I know that if someone sends you something, you don't know how to respond professionally. I understand the frustration, but it takes you more time out of your day to respond the way that you did than it would have just been had you just shut it down. Right. So I'm saying all this to say, I actually appreciate that your friend responded.
Well, she's a lovely human.
Good, good. That makes sense because y'all are in each other's ether. But it is something to where I'm sad that the recruiter didn't respond back to her, because every opening, every relationship can lead to something great. And that's the difference between a good and great recruiter, because you will make mistakes. You will fudge about. That's inevitable. But your goal is to be a good recruiter who just makes bad mistakes. You don't want to be a bad recruiter who has good occasional things, right? You want it to be the other way around. So, all right. Sorry. Just had to put that in.
That is great. I think that was such valid points. And I hope candidates are actually listening to this one, because that is a huge point. You never know when you're going to need someone. You never know. Respond to those messages and say, I'm just not interested at this time, but don't decline the messages. You can just, there's so many things I can say about candidates. So we'll get into that probably on another episode.
Oh yeah.
Please take that to heart. Don't be ugly. Be nice. It doesn't take that much time. Ashley, now we're going to get into the next one, which is a scammer.
This episode is brought to you by DEI Labs, re-educating corporate America with immersive data-driven DEI training for HR and hiring pros. Ready to shift systems and spark real change? Visit DEI-labs.com to get started. Need a resume that actually works? Resume Writing is a female-owned team of recruiting pros helping job seekers land the roles they deserve. Get expert help at resumewriting.com.
Yo. All right, we're going to talk about scammers, and I'm going to tell you why. Ooh. I cannot stand whenever people are taking this sport that I love and turning it into a predatory field. There are fake talent firms. Mm. There are phishing schemes that are continual emails. There is resume theft. There are fake job offers. There are people putting humans through actual onboarding to get their social security number, their home address, their full name, whatever it is that they're looking for. And so I love talent so much, but there has become a corner of it that has become very scammy today. we are also going to be talking about a few of those things, symptoms, signs, and where to look and what to do and how to know if a person is fake. So whenever it comes to scamming, there could be things such as fake job listings used to collect personal data. So this is twofold. One, you could have a company who has an evergreen role that is just constantly accepting applications. It's not the most healthy way of pipelining, and it doesn't really show the best ROI, but there are lots of companies that do that. Those aren't necessarily fake listings, but they're not active listings, right? But they are going to collect your personal data. Now we also have the second half of this, which is legitimate fake job postings. And because it's not a legitimate company, right? Like it's a fake job, fake company, pseudo brand. Those are actually very easy to make on LinkedIn. It is very easy to make your brand look legitimate whenever they've given you the format and you just plug and play. So I do want to say that's kind of where scamming starts, is kind of at the talent brand and attraction portion, whether that's email reach outs, whether that's fake job listings, whatever it is, like that is the first usual touch point of scam, right? So another one is resume reselling or unauthorized AI use. One thing that I always say to candidates and people who are maybe restructuring their resume, for no reason on God's green earth do you need to put your whole address, city and state. That will do. No reason at all that someone needs to know the exact home that you're living in. Obviously, whenever you fill out your I-9 and do all your onboarding paperwork, that will be the case. But as far as resumes, as far as just being entertained for a potential applicant and candidate, I would say that's unnecessary. Other things that we've seen that have been scams are pay-to-play recruiting. They say things like, we'll place you faster if you pay us for coaching and resume services. That is not a thing. Like real recruiting staffing services, they do not ask you to pay to get a position. I don't even know if that's actually like legal at the end of the day to get paid to get a job. Who knows?
Headhunters, sort of.
I guess that's true. Manager,
right? If you pay a headhunter.
Well, yeah.
Which is different. But
yeah, if you pay an individual headhunter. Right. Sure. Right. But don't ever pay an agency. No. I can't express that enough. Yeah. Overseas fraud firms. So one thing to just kind of keep in mind, some companies will outsource the automated reach out overseas because it's a little bit cheaper for them. So you need to be doing like some employee verification. We'll get into that in a second. As far as whenever solutions come about, just making sure that whoever you're dealing with, whatever firms they are that are posing as legitimate recruiters, that they are actually related to that LLC, that they are actually truly employed by that company, and that they are not just, you know, a fraudulent person who slipped in, was able to put Amazon on their LinkedIn page, and now it shows that they're an employee, so they can do XYZ. And then recruiters who will charge you money. Oh, this is my favorite. I'm going to restart this sentence.
Oh my gosh.
One of my favorite it is. Recruiters who will charge you money to help you, I quote, eat the ATS. Holy smack. If you hear anyone say this to you, port them everywhere. Like they are a fraud. Run. I am so sorry that someone has made you think that a tracking system has a beat it mechanism, but there is no such thing as beating the ATS.
So ridiculous.
So ridiculous. It is a tracking.
I think it is the worst lie on freaking LinkedIn. Yeah. When I go to it, I'm like, are you still talking about beating the ATS that is a holder of resumes and track?
It's a tracking database that holds these things. Once you apply, it's not like there's spam folders where it's like, this candidate's not as good, so we won't put them in the inbox. They haven't beat the ATS. There's no such thing.
There are knockout questions.
We're right on. There are knockout questions, and those are set up individually by the recruiter or the manager or whoever is over that role, and they are custom to that specific role. Now, can recruiters get in trouble asking silly questions or doing whatever? Sure, that I think that that happens. But at the end of the day, if you're like, I got rejected from the ATS after 13 seconds of having put in my resume, it's not because you didn't beat it. It's because whatever answers they're looking for wasn't a match. So those are the knockout questions. There is no such thing as beat the ATS. Application does not go anywhere else but where everyone's applications go. They are all to be seen by the recruiter. If the recruiter actually does their work or not, couldn't tell you. But please just know, if there is someone who is telling you that the font on your resume won't get you seen.
Oh my gosh, with the white.
Oh yeah, put white font in there with all these keywords so it'll pull you up. Do all these certain font things in different, you know, types of formats. I've heard people say Word documents. I don't know, and this I might be wrong in, but I'm going to tell you my best advice to the listeners here. A PDF is the best because no one can take your resume and edit it from its exact framework, because a PDF freezes it. So if they want to copy and paste it, they're going to have to copy and paste it into their own whatever. It's not like they could completely duplicate your resume and edit it, versus a Word document is 100% able to be edited. So whenever we're talking about scammers and people doing resume theft, that's what that is. So whenever the people say you need a Word document and it needs to be this type of font, what they're doing is setting you up to actually have more phishing schemes, resume theft, like just anything like that at all. So again, if you hear the term beat the ATS, just please run. And send them to me. I don't care. I'll beat them up for you.
And this is the thing about this. This is manipulation dressed up as a job posting to me. Like, this is manipulation of people's minds and hearts, and they're struggling. That's the part that makes me insane. It preys on the most vulnerable time in someone's life. They're trying to feed their families. They're trying to do these big things, right? And I want to make sure that people know this isn't rare anymore. It's everywhere, because it's just everywhere. And we got to stop normalizing the silence around it, because right now it's part of the process of job seeking. Is to avoid scammers.
Yeah.
It's literally, it's like you have to deflect, you know? I don't know if he's a great superhero who deflects, but you need to be that person. I'm a Marvel person. I don't know. But you need to be that person or that superhero who has to deflect these scammers right now. And it shouldn't be part of the process.
Yeah. And I think what your statement says is really important, in the sense of, like, there's a difference between what is common and what is normal. Common is the frequency at which it happens, which I would say is 1,000% of the time. You can't go into the job market without seeing something that's a scam at this point in time.
Yeah.
But just like you said, we need to stop normalizing. We can't let that become normal.
Right.
We can't let that become, because at the end of the day, all of the pressure, all of the hardship is pushed onto the candidate.
Yeah.
And so long as we keep doing that, then only privileged candidates will be able to succeed. So we as talent people have to ensure that we are creating processes and structures in place to eliminate that. But anyway, that's the difference between common and normal, and good, great recruiters will know that difference as well. Also, speaking of good and great recruiters, I cannot stop thinking of, whenever we're talking about recruiter scammers, 2023 LinkedIn recruiter scammering. Do you remember that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I do.
Like, thousands were targeted with these offers. And just so many people, like, were trying, like, had their recruiters thing taken. Someone spammed and said, hey, we want to talk to you about this. It actually happened to my account. They used mine and to message, I think it was over like 3,000 people.
Wow.
Like, LinkedIn actually tried to charge the company more because I was overdoing my LinkedIn messages. But I was like, this isn't even me. And then they had to like re-give us back the messages.
Oh,
but it's something that is legitimate and it does happen. So there are even times where it's a legitimate recruiter like me myself messaging about my company to you. And then it sends you a link that has nothing to do with that. And so the scams are just getting more intricate. They're getting more difficult and they're getting harder to delineate.
Yeah.
So one thing that we do want to discuss is just, how do you kind of create solutions to ensure that you don't get caught up in this?
Yeah.
So one of them was actually something that was done to me. So whenever I was in staffing, this is around 2015, I had a role for ExxonMobil and I had a candidate that I was talking to. And this was my very, very first job out of college. And he was like, I want to have an employee verification. And I didn't even know what that meant. But essentially what it was, is he actually reached out to my employer at the time and was verifying that I was an employee that worked there, because he was like, I feel like the job you're offering me is too good to be true. Like, I think you're a scam artist. This was in 2015. So literally 10 years ago. And he was so advanced, because what he was doing by protecting himself like that was brilliant, because he didn't really know. And who is he to share all this information that I need as a staffer to be able to present him to ExxonMobil with no relation to ExxonMobil? So I share this story because if you are a job seeker and you're like, I don't know how to tell if this person who has it on their LinkedIn is actually an employee or not, a lot of companies, especially the bigger ones, they have on their website where you can do employee verification, type in the name of the person and make sure that they're employed there. You can also always email for employee verification.
To get employee verified through LinkedIn, you can get employee and verified just as a human, right? Not an AI bot right now. So there are some definite things on your profile that you can definitely do to help that situation. So there's a lot of things that you could be doing right now.
Yeah. And the last and the other thing that I would say is that if you're concerned that the person that messaged you might be a scammer, this is going to sound so like duh, like generic in general. But honestly, if you Google the name of the person and then just add scam at the end, see what pops up. There are so many Reddit forums that I've found where it's like someone else got that email and was like, is this a scam? And it turns out, yes, it is, or no, it isn't. Or they'll provide information on whatever that person's about to offer you. So go ahead. And if your spidey senses are tingling, there's probably a reason. Go ahead and just start with a quick Google, like see what comes up. I think we don't do that enough because of the state that job seekers are in, but we're going to get into that in a minute. Desiree, over to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this part of this episode for me was really hard because it really hurts my soul. It's a part that makes me mad because these aren't just bad recruiters, right? They're predators in a weird space that they're coming after people with a job description. And it makes our whole industry, I think you said this a little bit before, but it makes our whole industry look dirty. So I just want to reiterate some of the tips that Ashley talked about, right? Never putting your full address on a resume. So the in-state is plenty. They ask you for money before you're hired. Block them, report them. If something feels off, stop, Google them, look for reviews, ask for verification. And then I want to say one thing to add is, let's get loud about this. If you come across a scammer, put it on LinkedIn, put it everywhere, call out the people that are scamming, because that's the only way other people don't get hurt. And so please call those out. I really, really would appreciate it if you did that. It's really important. But, you know, I think we want to give people some tips on how to decide whether a recruiter is real and what to do if you get scammed, because that's a big deal. Right? Mm-hmm. Good recruiters are advocates, not middlemen. They proactively assist with matchmaking for the best of both parties that's working for you and the organization. Bad recruiters erode trust in the whole system and make you hate your experience on the job market, right? Never had a really bad recruiter. I've had some in my past. Scammers are dangerous and everyone needs to stay sharp. Don't let urgency or job desperation get you into a safe, shady situation. If it feels off, it's probably off. And maybe it's not right. Like, maybe it's a great job and you just like got found by the perfect person. But do some work. Do some research for yourself. Recruiting can be really broken, but the people doing it right, they're the future of hiring. So let's celebrate them and hold the rest accountable. Before I give everybody their new call to action, do you have any comments about what I just said?
No, I mean, I think it's so brilliant. I think that recruiting is getting a bad rap. And I think that unless the good recruiters do something to stop the bad ones, then we'll be in a mess. And that's what this episode is for. We want to hold our party, our sport accountable, because it deserves that. If I could just share one quick note and logic on things. There was a statement that had always been told to me, and that's kind of what I think about this episode. And it's this: if you have 100 good doctors and one bad doctor, but the 100 bad doctor, or sorry, restart, Ashley, edit. If you have 100 good doctors and one bad doctor, but the 100 good doctors do nothing to stop the bad doctor, then you have 101 bad doctors. Right. And to me, that's the premise of this. If we who are on the good end of things don't hold the people who are on the bad end of things accountable, then we're never going to be able to trim that load of like excess fraudulence that we don't need. So recruiters, you're worth it. Call it out. Know what value is, know what value you are, and be good, be great, and be you.
So I would love for everyone to, of course, subscribe, review, and share your own recruiter story using hashtag talentless takes. Just like we did talentless heroes before, we're going to do talentless takes. And so if you have a horror story or a good story, we would love to hear those as well. And next week, we're talking hard lessons, ghosting, red flags, and the time we learned the difference between culture fit and culture fiction. Talk about those lessons Ashley and I learned probably 2 years into this game, into this sport. That one's going to be fun for me because I got so many stories about how bad I was. So it's going to be interesting. This is the time of this episode, everyone, where we talk about the psychological side of what we've been talking about. And right today, we are going to talk about the key psychological factors in scam susceptibility. Ashley, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. So today, we are actually going to talk about kind of the inverse of what we've been talking about, and that is going to be the candidate's state of mind. So whenever individuals are scamming people, there are certain tendencies that the person being scammed tend to have, and it's what allows for the exploitation. So this is going to be on a cognitive basis and an emotional manipulation. So specifically, scammers often exploit cognitive biases, such as like the reciprocity principle. So like if I give you something, you'll give me something. So that way it kind of is like this favor-based relationship, I guess is the right way to put it. So then that way they do something if the other person does something, so they feel like they have to reciprocate. Let me just read this. I'm such a dummy. Sorry. So this would be cognitive biases and emotional manipulation. So scammers often exploit cognitive biases such as the reciprocity principle, where individuals feel compelled to return favors, and the authority bias, where people tend to comply with figures of authority. Emotional triggers like fear, urgency, and even excitement are also used to manipulate or impair rational decision making. So this actually leads to individuals participating in automatic or emotional driven behaviors rather than behaviors rooted in risk prevention and based in logic. So the items that we gave you today are to be those filters and those behaviors that are rooted in risk prevention based logic. And those need to be the filter of what you do prior to responding to any recruiter that reaches out to you. So don't fall for the emotional state that they want you to be in. They want you to have urgency. They want you to feel fear and compelled to have to respond right now because that's the only way you could get the job. Take a breath, look everyone up, and do some risk prevention before responding. That's the stuff you didn't know before.
What a great episode, Ashley. I hope everybody stays vigilant, stay strong out there, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
I'm Desiree.
And I'm Ashley. And thanks for listening to Talentless, where we keep it real in the world of HR.
If you loved what you heard, don't forget to hit subscribe and give us a follow on Blue Sky, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We're here to keep your feed packed with everything you need to level up in recruitment and HR.
And be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And hey, don't miss out. Sign up for our newsletter for fresh insights and follow us on socials to stay connected with both Ashley and me.
Thanks again for joining us on Talentless. Until next time, we'll see you then.